This meeting is now being recorded.
Don't let it worry you. So could we, hi, this is Lori Earle, one of the co-chairs of the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee, and I believe Sherry Carter, the other co-chair, is on the line. Does someone have a roster of our committee members and could take roll for us?
I sure do. This is Donna Newman. I'd be happy to take roll call.
Thank you.
Judge Earle, Judge Carter, or Ms. Carter, she's here with us. I'm sorry.
Keep getting promoted,
yes. Judge Bloom. Ms. Fleming.
Here.
Judge Herman.
Here.
Judge Johnson.
Here.
Judge Marigonda.
Here.
Judge McCabe.
Here.
Mr. Planet.
Here.
Mr. Taylor.
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki.
I'm here.
Great. Here in Sacramento, I think it's good if we go around the room and just let everyone introduce themselves. I'm Donna Newman.
Angela Guzman from Budget Services.
Natalie Daniel from Budget Services.
Suzanne Blahubdi from Budget Services.
Budget Services.
Zato Fedorovich.
And on the line, Judicial Council staff.
Brandy Sanborn.
Security Operations.
Don Wells, Judicial Council.
Mark. Is there anyone else that joined us late that we didn't account for?
Bonnie Huff.
Okay.
Do I have someone from IT on the line as well?
Hi, Donna. It's Mark, Virginia, Sean, and Melody. We're here for you.
Great. Thank you so much for being available. I appreciate that. So I believe I have some housekeeping things I'm supposed to take care of.
Right.
Great. So as a reminder, this meeting is open to the public and is being recorded. Members of the public can join the call via listen-only code, permitting them to join and leave at any time without notice or interruption. Please identify yourselves prior to speaking for the benefit of all participating and listening to the meeting. If there are members on the phone, we ask that you please place your phones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. Please do not place us on hold at any time during the meeting to avoid distractions caused by on-hold music. I think it's on you guys now.
I think that's it.
Okay.
So the first thing is to just see if we could get the minutes approved from the last meeting. There's a motion.
I'll move approval. This is David.
Judge Johnson, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. So, Judge Earle, do you want Judicial Council staff to take the lead of going through item one on the trial court trust fund and just going through the materials?
That would be great.
Perfect.
Okay, I see. Are we supposed to make comment about that there wasn't any written public comment or anything?
That would be helpful.
Okay.
are we messing up your schedule?
No, not at all. This is my first time, so okay. As long as you guys are all patient, we're good. So anyway, there wasn't any public comment at this time. So item number one on our agenda are the allocations from the trial court trust fund for fiscal year 2017-18. This is an action item. Typically, the most interesting part or interested piece is the fund condition statement, so we thought we would start there. It can be located or found on page 9 of your meeting materials. The fund condition is actually a joint effort between Suzanne and myself. I am responsible for the revenue section, and Suzanne is the go-to person for expenditures and allocations. She will handle the bulk of this item, but since the revenues are my piece, I thought I would talk briefly about them. We did not revise our revenue projections from the 2017-18 governor's budget to the May revise. The overall projected change to the fund was an increase of about 4.46%. I do understand, though, that there are specific revenue sources that the courts are interested in, and specifically the civil assessments. Unfortunately, we are projecting a decline for the civil assessments, approximately 3.39%, or about $5 million overall. We are optimistic that that when amnesty ends, we will see an increase, a bounce back. We will be watching them very, very closely, as well as all the other revenue streams, too. We do have pending legislation that could have an impact to our revenues. Preparing analysis on that impact as soon as we know something definitive. Are there any questions in relation to the revenues?
The question about the civil assessments and meeting the MOE, $48 million, that was an issue that was raised, and then the staff have done some analysis of that, and the position is that any of the shortfalls would be even taken from the fund balance. Is there anything to report? Am I anticipating a question?
Well, no, that's fine. This is Suzanne. I ran a revenue report this morning as to what civil assessments had been received for April. There are still 10 courts that haven't reported, but that gave me a bulk of courts to do. At this point, we are looking at about a $2.3 million shortfall across about 7 courts that will not be able to make their MOE obligation.
Make the branches
make
MOE
offset obligation.
Offset. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to correct you every time we say
that
because this is a rub with me.
Okay.
Aren't you glad I'm here in this room?
We're a thought.
You're never going to let me come back.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're always welcome. And anybody else?
Okay.
So.
But I knew that was an important question.
It is.
I wanted to get that.
And $2.3 million is a chunk.
This, mm-hmm. And,
oh,
and this
sure.
is. And this is a substantial chunk from previous years. Last year it was about $600,000 shortfall. The 2 years prior to that were about $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely the impact of the amnesty program on civil assessment and the court's ability or the however the MOE.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Be careful. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
And I assume that $2.3 million would come from
the 11.8.
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
changes the whole spreadsheet.
It does. It does.
But it's at this point still have time and amnesty ended, and we'll see. And I think that part of it was that our estimates were slightly larger than yours. So the biggest chunk is an estimate larger than the amount that you had.
Okay.
So your 200,000, which we have a larger number for the last time I recall we talked about it.
Yes. I was using LA's estimate.
Oh, you were? Okay.
I was.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
For those prior. Okay.
Yeah. So, no, because they had actual information that they were sending in,
okay.
I included their number.
So, I am curious for the CEOs who are on the line, are you seeing your civil assessments pick up after the amnesty? I have not seen an increase, an increase like what we would anticipate. I was curious if the rest of you have been tracking it as carefully as I have.
Sherry, this is David. We have seen actually a little bit of a tick up, but it's been such a short period of time, it's hard to really attribute that to just this.
Yeah.
But can I go back to this topic? Because we moved on to the revenue trend before I was able to ask a question. Is that okay?
Of course.
Sure. So Suzanne, you said that we appear to be running shy about, did you say $5 million?
On which particular?
On civil assessment revenue?
Assessment? I believe that was Donna on that one.
Correct.
Oh, I'm sorry, Donna. Apologies.
Right. And that's just based on what we have in the governor's budget currently as compared to what our current projection is. We're about $5 million short.
Gotcha. And I think, Sherry, you mentioned that the branches shortfall for making the MOE payment. Are you saying that none of the courts will be, I shouldn't say
no,
that.
No, what we're saying, David, is of the, what is it,
48 million.
48 million, $2.3 million will not be covered by civil assessment, so it'll have to come out of the $11.8 million on line 43, that's the unrestricted fund balance.
Got
it.
So
that's
okay.
Where that difference. Now, hopefully, the 4.3 will end up being much less than that, we're hoping.
2.3.
I'm sorry, 2.3 will be much less than that, but we won't know until the end of the fiscal year.
These are conservative
okay.
estimates.
Yeah.
That we were on the worst
Better.
Possible side.
Yes, way to plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. That clarifies it for me.
So this is Mike Flann in response to Sherry's question. We are tracking it, but I think it's too early for us to determine what we're seeing as a trend or anything yet.
Are you seeing any uptick, Mike? Because you guys do really good in collections.
We can't tell what it is, actually. There's a slight uptick, but we don't know if that's just our usual collections program or whether it's directly related to the amnesty piece.
Great.
Okay, so if there aren't any other revenue-related questions, I'm going to turn it over to Suzanne for the allocation piece.
All right, also on the fund condition, page 9, there is a small, minor increase in estimated allocation between 2016-17 and 17-18. We can go line by line or turn to page 10, which will give us the program 30, which gives us the detail that shows up on line 22 of the fund condition on page 9. Most of the increases occurring between the two fiscal years of proposed allocation for 17-18 are related to the equal access, which has a formulaic component to how much we allocate for staffing costs. Page 15 of your attachment, 1E, gives you a breakdown of what exactly how equal access fund gets calculated and how that gets divided with the state bar. But we are, based on revenues we see coming in, expecting to be spending $258,000 versus the $194,000, so that's a $64,000 increase. And the other major increase in column D for the Judicial Council staff is Phoenix HR Services. They anticipate an increase in charges back to the courts of about $56,000. Those costs will be fully reimbursed by the courts for the services that Phoenix HR provides to them. So as far as program 30 costs, that is primarily the changes that we're seeing in the fund condition for that. For the program 4510, which is line 23 on your fund condition, back to page 9, this the amount that we are expecting for the allocation for 17-18 still is missing some pieces of information that will be coming later, such as the 1% fund reduction and a final accounting of the trial court trust funds held on behalf. But there is a the change between these two numbers is an offset between $45 million in grant funding for innovation grants and Prop 47 going away in 16-17, but there will also be an increase based on revenue projections of $35.1 million in revenues returned to courts going up. We also have an increase in transfers to the Judicial Branch Workers' Comp Fund, as well as governor's budget or may revise funding of $5.1 million for increased benefit costs, and then other changes accounting to $1 million change. So it ends up being about a $2 million difference between the two. All the other allocations stay the same for court-appointed counsel, for compensation for court judges, assigned judges, court interpreters. There is a increase in court interpreter allocation, which Patrick, do you want to speak to that now, or do you want me to just give it basically covers the cost of the COLA that's going to be given out?
Well,
increase? No.
We're anticipating it. Increase.
Okay.
There
are some changes to grants based on revenues available. This, again, is equal access. And then also on the expenses on behalf of the trial courts. This is based on mostly the change comes from Shriver, based on revenues that are available for expenditure. More detail on Program 45 can be found on Attachment 1G, which starts on page 11. Again, very few changes from the previous year. We still have some information pending. That
is primarily it. We do have included this year money for the OPED.
OPED.
OPED. There we go. For other post-employment benefit valuation. That can be found on page 18 for more detail. Also in program on page 10, I'm jumping all over the place, I'm sorry. IT-related services, on expenses on behalf of the trial courts. IT is anticipating future savings based on the transitions of courts away from the CCTC and also the V3 CMS. However, those savings still need to be fine-tuned, and it's my understanding that IT will be coming back at a later date with better forecasts of what the savings will be this year. Do I have any questions on the proposed allocations?
I always have a question.
Okay.
There is an issue that related to controllers audits of the trial courts. There's a starting that program next year. There's a budget bill language similar to what is in the budget now for covering the cost of audits for contracts done by the auditor, the California State Auditor.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be something that we would have to account for to the extent that that language was there and those funds would be available to cover the cost of these audits so that each court is not having to pay for it out of their own budgets. So we'll just have to track that as an issue.
That's different than the CSA audit? Okay. Okay.
Even though it's an older requirement, it's not been implemented until this year. So similarly, those audits would be covered from the TCTF rather than borne by each individual court.
I think that's fair.
And it limits our exposure from having that language that the controller doesn't jack up the cost for us either. Same with the auditor.
Now, going back to the fund condition, we had been looking at perhaps 2017-18 needing to be the year that we address the structural imbalance. But our fund condition is showing, if you look on line 44 of page 9, in the 18-19 column D or column E, actually look at column 33, we have a sufficient fund balance, but then when you look at line 44, we do not really, our fund balance does not get impacted by the restricted funds and us really have to address the structural deficit until 2021, which is not to say that we can't.
Right, no, but the $2.3 million
right, makes a huge difference, yeah.
And typically, if you look at column C, line 2, you typically don't carry over a negative because you have to balance that mm-hmm. year. So that $500,000 would make an impact, I would think, too.
That $500,000 is tied to authority that we're expecting that we were given money for
the redevelopment.
And so then taking because the authority has disappeared, they'll take the funding that's
okay.
there.
Right.
That's
okay.
why it's $500,000.
Got it. Okay.
That, you're right, that isn't normal, but
yeah,
we needed
right.
to account for it, and that was the only line item where we could show
got
the
it.
Appropriation authority and the funding.
Are gone.
Yeah.
Are gone. Okay, got it. But, yeah, we could go negative much faster.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go negative next year if we don't have license holds.
If we don't get the Department of Finance
there
working
is no
that
backfill.
Money.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, that's
right. Okay.
So are there any questions on the fund condition or on the allocations, proposed allocations?
So you're ready for a motion?
Sure.
Would anyone like to propose the approval of the allocations from the trial court trust fund as outlined by judicial counsel staff?
Sherry, this is David. I'd like to move approval of the allocations as proposed by the JC staff. But I just have one clarifying question. For the out years that are described on Attachment 1B, those are just estimates, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're only shooting for the first year, 17-18.
That's correct.
Gotcha. Okay.
But for discussion.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, it was just for discussion purposes concerning the structural imbalance.
Gotcha. And it's very, very helpful to see the forecast. But with that, I'll go ahead and move approval of item one.
Second.
as recommended by the Judicial Council staff.
Jim Herman, I'll second.
Is that 1A? This is Judge Johnson. Option 1A?
1B.
It should be 1A, yes.
Okay.
Page 8.
Thank you.
So any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. So Judge Earl, would you like Judicial Council staff to cover item 2 on the IMS?
That sounds great as well.
Okay. Item number 2, this is Donna. Item number 2 is an informational item. No action is required. The IT department was able to refine some of their projections or allocations in the out years, meaning fiscal years 18, 19, and beyond. So we wanted to bring that information back to the subcommittee so that you guys would all be aware. So the materials begin on page 27, and that is kind of a revised fund condition, including all of the savings that IT is forecasting. So in fiscal year, fiscal year 16-17, they have identified a little bit more savings, $226,000 in additional savings. This is due to some cost savings that they found in California Court Technology Center, or CCTC, along with the consulting for the Phoenix five-year roadmap initiative is being led by the SAP vendor, free of charge. We always love that, right? Free is good. This, however, of course, is a one-time saving. They have also identified some one-time savings in that same line for some training costs. So their forecast is an additional $226,000 in fiscal year 16-17. Also, in out years, meaning fiscal year 18 and 19, they were able to refine their projections, and that effort resulted in an estimated savings of $616,000, and they're projecting an additional savings of $802,000 in 19-20. All of the savings and their forecasted savings is an additional $1.6 million to the fund balance. And if you have specific questions about where their savings and where they've refined their projections, IT staff is available on the phone for further questions. Savings is always a good thing,
savings,
right?
Savings is a good thing.
I think it's a great challenge to have to think about what we could finally do with our own money and how to best use it for ourselves. It's a totally different conversation. So whereas we had to pull back so much and stop so much, now we can, and all those lessons learned, I think what's great about having, you know, the continuity on the membership of the committee is that now we can think about
growth.
Where do we want to go?
Yeah.
One-time usage, because we don't want to, you know, like, you know, some of the lessons learned in the past was commitment to ongoing expenses.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own innovation fund that we can improve and modernize without having to go and beg and plead the administration and the legislature for that, which is nice.
This is Liz Johnson. I think that this is just really helpful, and I appreciate the staff time that went into it.
Welcome. I do have a question on page 28 when we're there.
Absolutely.
Are we there yet?
We're there.
So I do want to know why the, on line 4, why the huge increase from 17-18 to 18-19 on the Phoenix program. That's a huge jump.
Well, that's a good question.
Hey, Mark, this is Doug Kaufman. I'm going to remind you. You want me to answer that, Mark, or do you want to answer it?
Go ahead, Doug. I can do it if you would like.
Oh, that's fine. So this is Doug Kaufman from Branch Accounting and Procurement. So what that projection shows is a move of the Phoenix infrastructure from the California Court Technology Center to another solution, whether that's cloud or something else. And there's actually an IFR going through the Judicial Council committees right now to request that there be a BCP in the next year to cover those costs. And in addition to just the infrastructure and some functionality increases to Phoenix. It also includes a request to move that funding of the overall system from the IMF to the general fund. So if that goes through and it's approved, there'll actually be a savings to the IMF.
I think that's brilliant because it is a statewide program, and I think it should be paid.
We're following that approach where the administration did do the $8 million years ago to do
that. Yeah, excellent. So what is the break-even point of changing the system to cloud-based? Did you do a cost-benefit? What's the ROI on making that switch? Because it goes from 3.7 to 6.4 and then back down to basically 3. So
right. I think the savings we calculated was $265,000 a year. And so I don't have in front of me, if we apply that to the one-time cost to do the project, how long it will take to pay it back, but we could figure that out.
Okay.
And this is informational as far as,
I understand.
That means that we can get you that information.
No, I get it. It's just that usually when you make those kinds of changes, you want to know if it actually mm-hmm. makes sense to make those changes. So financial sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's expensive, but let's just cross our fingers for the BCP then.
Yeah, this is Mike Planner, for what it's worth, that we reviewed both. I've been on two committees recently, funding methodology subcommittee of this group and A&E, and both committees recommended the BCP going forward on this particular matter.
And if it doesn't, and I'm hoping it will. I'm going to be confident it will. But if it doesn't, then will the concept of purchasing these additional features and moving it to a different platform then be brought to this committee to discuss whether or not it makes financial sense to do it? It should, because that's typically what happens is when there's going to be an expenditure, especially of this size, mm-hmm. it's traditionally been brought here to see whether or not it makes sense to have some other alternatives.
Yeah, I mean, we bring all the allocations
yeah,
and
it.
Always provide
Perfect.
An explanation
right.
and opportunity
Perfect.
For the discussion
yeah,
on any of the allocation changes.
Sounds good. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Without any further discussion or any other questions, I do believe that we are going to set another meeting in September for this subcommittee.
Does anyone have any other questions regarding the fund condition of either the trust fund or the IMF? All right. That's it.
Wow, you're pretty efficient.
That was easy. Thank you for your work on this. We'll see everybody, I think, next week for a budget meeting?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.